Amen. Am I on? You are. Are we on? Amen. 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 We've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, and we're just so grateful that the Lord has blessed us to have these things at our church, and it's all because everybody is working together. When we work together, there's so much that we can do for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. We've had just a tremendous week, our homecoming, our revival, and our picnic on yesterday. I'm telling you, we had a great time. Amen. Reverend Ray tried to convince me to do a hayride, and I said, no, I don't think I'm into hayrides. Amen. But we're grateful, and I want to just share with you, thank you to everyone, to our Sunday school, our church school, and our youth department for putting that on, for all that came out. I think everyone just enjoyed themselves. I know our kids did. They had a wonderful time on yesterday, and just so grateful. Want to thank the vendors and participants, our party time rentals. We were able to support our local minority businesses, so we're grateful for that. Amen. Mr. Curtis Charlemagne, S&J's Peters, they made veggie Peters for. Amen. And then Malcolm Calloway, our own Malcolm Calloway, and then Deacon Al Barr. Was cooking, and so we're thankful that he survived. Did you survive? Amen. It was hot out there. So we're grateful again for the many, many that participated and just all had a wonderful time. Again, we're going to do the same thing. Oh, by the way, Mr. Brown here and Trustee Clavon. Okay, next year, that's all I'm going to say. Next year. We're going to get it right on next year. Amen. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. We had a great time. I think everyone enjoyed the fellowship. The cornhole toss was absolutely challenging. And we're just, again, thankful that the Lord blessed us to be able to have these types of activities. But we're in a troubled world. This is a troubled world. And as you know, the tragedy that happened at my favorite store, Dollar General, in Jacksonville, Florida. But do pray for the people and pray for the folks that have hatred in their heart. Hatred. It's okay if you don't agree with someone or if you don't like someone, but to have hatred in your heart toward others and to do them harm, that's wrong. It's sinful. It's wicked. So pray for the people of this world. Also, we want to share with you that there will be a memorial service at the Stanton Baptist Church for Janie Davis and her daughter, Trina Miller. So we're going to have that service on this coming Wednesday. And I believe the time is 1 o'clock. So that will be at 1 o'clock. Please pray for the family that God would guide them through this difficult time, and that the Lord would bless and comfort their hearts. Before we get into the message, got a little song I want to share with you, just a little bit of a song. No matter how bad it gets sometimes, you know, no matter how rough life might get, I got a feeling, look at somebody, tell them, I got a feeling that everything is gonna be all right. Put your hands together. Well, I said I got a feeling everything will be all right. Oh, yeah, I got a feeling everything will be all right. I got a feeling, I got a feeling, yes, I do. Everything will be all right. Gonna be all right, be all right, will be all right. Clap your hands, say it with me. Oh yeah, I got a feeling everything will be all right. No matter.
everything will be all right. I heard him say it one day. Jesus told me everything will be all right. I'm glad about it. Jesus, yes, he told me everything will be all right. Will be all right. Be all right. Will be all right. Tell somebody, tell them I'm going to be all right. Tell them it's going to be all right. Oh, yeah. I got a feeling everything will be all right. Yes, I do. I got a feeling everything will be all right. Oh, yeah. I got a feeling everything will be all right. Will be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Amen. From God's word, three verses today that I want to bring to your attention. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want to share with you today God's invitation to greatness. God's invitation to greatness. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we're again thankful that we can call upon your name and to know that you are God, to know that beside you there is none other. I pray you touch our hearts today because we're living in such a world that is in turmoil. People are confused and don't know which way to turn. But God, we know that we can turn to you. And because we trust in you, you will work all things together for our good and for your glory. So we praise you. We bless you. We honor your name today. Lord, we exalt you. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. Absolutely, the greatest invitation that you will ever receive in life is the invitation that God Almighty gives to us. God made this world, but somehow this world has gotten estranged from God. It's got removed from God, removed from his blessings, removed from his promises. And more importantly, we've been removed from what God commanded us to do. But absolutely the greatest invitation that will ever be given is the invitation from God. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I just read the invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Imagine our Lord standing on a hillside, or perhaps he's there in a plain or a valley, and he's saying to the multitude, I want you to come to me. What kind of problems do you think that they would have had? What kind of issues do you think that they would have been facing? Oh yeah, they had problems. Just like you and I have problems today, they had things to deal with. Roman oppression, having to live in a society where you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from, violence on every hand. And it was sad that they lived in those conditions, and it's sad that we live in the conditions that we live in today. It's troubling. And here is Jesus issuing an invitation. Now, we've got to look at the fact that, okay,
What kind of authority did Jesus have to give this invitation? Ladies and gentlemen, that authority came from God Almighty. That authority came from the Father who created everything. And not only is he inviting us to come back to him, but he's inviting us to be a part of what he's doing in this world in which we live. A lot of us are sitting there today and we're thinking to ourselves, everything's just gotten out of hand. It's still in God's hand. It may be too big for our hands, but it's still in God's hands. And guess what? You are still in God's hands. Things that we don't agree with, things that we find troubling, things that get on our nerves, things that will cause us to be sad, God is still in complete authority. He never loses his power. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now you're going to get a lot of invitations. You're going to get a lot of requests to go here, birthdays, anniversaries, weddings. Some of you have already got wedding invitations on your calendar right now. And each invitation says something. It says that the person who gave the invitation thought about you. They thought about you, but then they also thought about the fact we want you to be a part of what we're doing. It should not come as a surprise that God wants to include you. He wants you in on his program. He wants you in on what he's doing in this world. Jesus was inviting people to be a part of the kingdom of God, the greatest movement, greatest, amen, all things that could ever happen to this world. Jesus is inviting us to be a part of God's glorious kingdom. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, you get to choose between the kingdom that you're in or the kingdom that you're supposed to be in. God came to deliver us from the darkness of this world. God came to speak to us and to reveal to us his truth, so that we could live in a world, and even though it's everything filled with lies and falsehoods and people making false statements, we can say we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Isn't that good news? That's what it's all about, to be a part of God's kingdom and to be a part of what he's doing. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus has given invitations. He gave one to Peter. When Jesus walked on the water and Peter saw him walk on the water, he said, Lord, if it is so, you, then bid me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus said to him, come. There's nothing that he will withhold from you. If you want to be a part of his kingdom, Jesus offers you his blessed kingdom. That's the good news. But here's the thing about the crowd, and here's the thing about us today. Jesus is inviting us to him because we got problems. Some of us have serious problems. Some of us have problems with people. Some of us have problems with personal things that are going on in our lives. But absolutely everyone in this room, either you're having a problem or you had a problem or you're getting ready to have one. You're somewhere in that crowd. So he invites us. He tells us to come to him. Greatest invitation. Why is Jesus sending this invitation? Why am I reiterating that invitation here today? Because the burden that you're carrying was not meant for you. Let me say that again. The burden that you're carrying was not meant for you. If you don't believe it, read the verse. He said, come to me, all you who labor and a heavy laden. Get the picture in your mind. Someone carrying a load. Someone bearing a burden. And they're falling under it.
Yes.
The things that weigh you down can destroy you unless you do something about it.
Amen.
I read some interesting statistics the other day. Matter of fact, yesterday I read some interesting statistics about people in problems and the troubles that they're having. Back in 2008, when we had the housing crisis, you remember that, and the recession that followed that, people were spending, the note said, $140 billion a year for healthcare services. $140 billion. Mental health, trying to deal with the issues of facing life on their own burden. After the recession was over, 2010 and 2011, people began to recover. Do you think the mental health crisis went down? No, it got worse. It climbed to as high as $155 billion per year that people were having because, or having on spending on mental health services because people were troubled. Now, I'm not here to tell you don't seek help. As a matter of fact, do that. God blesses mankind with that kind of knowledge. I believe you should. But if you don't go to God and you depend on man to deliver you, you're going to fall short. You're going to be missing something in your life. So Jesus is giving this invitation. If you're troubled, come to me. Come to me. We give invitations. Matter of fact, that cell phone that you've got. Let's talk about that. Your cell phone. Do you not know the number one message that we either text or call somebody is to find out where they are? And you know, we use the phrase, where y'all at? And we don't even think about that's bad English, but we get the point, right? We spend about the same amount of money on cell phones as we do about mental health. And, isn't that a thought? Could that be the cause of our anxiety? Maybe we're trying to find answers through this communication. And ladies and gentlemen, it may be a type of communication, but it's not the one that you need. You need to make communication with the God who made you. He knows the burden that you're under. He knows the pain that you're feeling. He knows the difficulties that you are facing each and every day. And so Jesus' invitation is, come to me. Come to me. Now, I want you to notice something that we should all do, and we end the response. Jesus uses the word all. Everybody say all. You'll notice in this verse, it says, come unto me all who labor, all who are burdened, all who are heavy laden. Who should come? Jews, the ones that he was talking to in that day, primarily were Jews, but also he invited the Gentiles. But guess what? This is also for the saints, the church, because we got problems. We got people problems. We got financial problems. We've got problem with health. If you're above 50, you're probably witnessing that now, right? You got problem, you know, your best friend's the last name is MD. Because you got problems. And you want them to help you, and you should seek that help. But Jesus is giving the invitation to everyone. Everyone. So what I want you to do today, before we leave here today, I want you to think about your great needs that you have in your life. And I want you to ask yourself this question: how can this invitation help me? How can I respond to this invitation to get this burden off my life? I don't want to go on in my life thinking that I can handle it because I know what it's going to do to me. I don't want to continue in my life thinking that I know what I'm doing because I really don't. Each day it gets more and more difficult. That burden gets heavier. And Jesus cares. He cares about you. He cares about your future. It could have been something from your past that's now hindering from what you're doing right now and will also hinder you as you go forward from here. Good news is Jesus wouldn't give an invitation if he couldn't deliver. Are y'all going to pray? Four things before we close today that I want to convince you that this invitation is for you. And what I want you to do is to commit to it. I don't want to just stand here and preach a sermon and then you listen to it. Oh, great sermon. No, I want you to commit to it. Commit to what Christ is preparing to do in your life and in my life. Here's how it breaks down. First, it is what we call an unmistakable promise. Unmistakable. You know, I've heard people to make promises, say they can do things, and then they get halfway through it, and they can't do it all. Or they can't deliver as they said. Jesus can deliver on everything that he promised us. He said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now, that's from the word, we get the word shalom. You've heard people in regions where, Aramaic regions, you've heard them use the word shalom. It means rest, or it means peace. It is not just any peace. It's not just putting down the arms where you're fighting one another. It's peace in your soul. It's rest for the inside of you that keeps you from being troubled, keeps you from being worried, keeps you from wearing yourself out, reliving a past that you can't change. Jesus wants to give you and me his rest. Now, in order to give something, you got to have it. You can't not possess something and then give it to someone else. You got to possess it. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom of God. When God says peace, he looks at his Son. He looks at the Savior. He looks at the King who can give every one of us not only peace of mind, peace in our heart, joy. He can give us the satisfaction of knowing that everything is going to work out for good. I believe this peace or this rest is actually given to us in Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Next verse, I shall not want. When you get to that place in life where you're not wanting this, wanting that, I need this and I need that, and you're not allowing the anxiety to get into your spirit, you have peace. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And when I do get up, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, we interpret that still, but it really means quiet waters. He tells the storms, shh. He tells the waves, be still. He speaks to the storm and tells it, my children are passing over. Quiet now. That's your God. And that's the peace that he gives. That's the rest that he gives. Every one of us on this planet are seeking rest. And I'm not talking about laying down and get a good night's sleep. I'm talking about resting in Christ. That's the promise that Jesus makes to you and me. And ladies and gentlemen, he can deliver. Unmistakable promise from God Almighty. But not only is it an unmistakable promise, it is an ultimate position. In Greek mythology, they would often characterize people having visits from the gods, and so upon these visits, they would develop a mythology around that, such as Hercules having all that strength. Hercules didn't exist, okay? All right, but here's Christ. Here is the Lord putting you in an ultimate position. He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you. In other words, if you join me, the load that you're carrying, I'm going to give you a lighter load. I'm going to lead you to a better destination. You're going to have a better outcome with your life if you allow me, but I'm going to give you responsibility. I want you to take my yoke upon you. And what a yoke was, not an egg yolk. This is something that we use in farm terminology where two animals are pulling a load. And if some of you that know a little bit about that, you'd always get the lead horse or the lead animal to pull the heaviest weight because they know more. My grandpa used to do it. He wouldn't hook the younger animal to the wrong side because they didn't know where they were going. And he couldn't pull the weight, but the older one, the one that had the strength, would get in front. Guess what? Jesus has got in front of you. And no matter what you face in life, he's going to lead you and take care of you. You didn't come this far to fail right now. You didn't come this far for God to abandon you right now. Can somebody say, he walks with me? Or better yet, I walk with him. I talk to the Lord. I let him know, God, I can't make it without you. You're in the right position. The ultimate position for any believer to be in. Haley and Hannah, they've now been baptized, but they've also taken a position. Christ is with them. You say, but they're young. Christ is still with them. Guess what? Young folk got burdens. If you don't believe, go to school with them one day. You'll find out. Bullying and all kinds of things that happen. But yet Christ is walking with them and will keep them because they belong to him. It's the ultimate position for us to be in. And I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the Lord who guides us and leads us. It's an unmistakable promise, ultimate position. But what else, preacher? It's a unique provision. I love that. I love doing these little letter things. You like that? How is it unique? No one else can do what Christ does. No one else can deliver on the goods. I used to work in a shipping, it was a company that I was in the shipping department, and I worked there. And you had to fill out bills of lading, which meant we want this package or these materials to go to this point. You would put in the point of origin, but then you'd also put in the point of destination. You'd say, okay, here it is. You'd weigh it, make sure you knew what weight it was. It was called a bill of lading. When you started out in your journey, the Holy Spirit filled out a bill of lading for your life. You're starting here on this earth, but you're not going to end up on this earth. You're starting, and sometimes you have burdens added to you. But guess what? With him walking with you, the provision is, I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Do you not know that you can have peace even when you're facing a crisis? You can have the calmness of God because, ladies and gentlemen, without you calming down and getting things under control, you lose it. Anybody ever lost it? Look at somebody, tell them no use losing it if you got to get it back and figure out what you're going to do. He calms you down. He allows you to think clearly and to process what's going on and how you're going to make it from here. And just like that destination on that bill of lading, you're going to make it. As a matter of fact, you made it this far. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Oh, yeah, never would have made it without the Lord. If he had not been by my side, if he had not held me through the storm and through the rain, through the trouble that I thought would last always. But thank God, the trouble didn't last, but I lasted. I'm a living witness what God can do. He can bring you out, and he can bring you over. The Lord will take care of you. I feel like preaching today. Because I'm determined that I'm going to follow him. Better yet, I'm determined I'm going to stay under his yoke. And sometime when I get to lagging back, he pulls me. He's a wonderful Savior. Jesus says, I am meek and lowly. What does that mean? Self-control. When you're meek, you got things under control. You ever seen people that they never let things get under their skin? I have only seen one. That's Jesus. Everybody else got a boiling point, you know. They got a flash point. They got a point where don't cross that line. Don't go any further than that. Because if you do, I'm going off on you. Come on, talk to me up in here. But Jesus is the one that keeps you under control. Let me ask y'all a question. How many of you got to your boiling point, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, don't do that? Any witnesses in here? Kept you out a whole lot of trouble, amen? I read on somebody's t-shirt the other day, he said, I'm going to turn this over to the Lord because if I keep it, I'm going to jail. You have unique provisions because Jesus has it. He gives it to you. And he says to you, I want to give it full. Listen to what it's also saying in Psalm 23. It says that my cup runs over. How many of y'all read that statement and you wondered, what does that mean? A lot of times when people give you things, they measure it. They have a measurement. In other words, you go to the grocery store. You don't get everything in the grocery store. You get a measurement. Then, of course, you got to pay for it. You only get a little bit. But Jesus, when he gives you his rest, his peace, Psalm 23 says, my cup runs over. How many of y'all ever been at a point where you're filling something and all of a sudden, oops, I poured out too much? When God allows you to overflow with his peace, with his joy, he doesn't say, oops, I poured out too much. He says, I want you to know I got more. I want you to know I can bless you more. You may not have the capacity to receive it all, but I can give you abundantly and above all that you can even imagine. That's unique provision. That's what Jesus does for you and me. Thank God. Look at somebody and tell them, God's got it. Look at somebody else, tell them, God's got it. He loves you. You know, sir, who circulated this idea that we have a stingy God? Okay, I'm going to bless you now. You know, I got to get the image of my dad out of my mind, because my dad, when he would give you something, he would always turn his back, open his wallet, which was a Velcro wallet. He'd open his wallet and he'd give you out what he wanted. What God does, he turns around to you, opens the wallet and says, take what you want. Oh, glory. I like it. I like that. He is a God of abundance. And he wants to bless you. I've seen people carry loads. When I was in the military in South Korea, many of the people, the nationals of that country, they would ride on bicycles, at least during the time that I was there. And that's before the Asian economic explosion, you know, where now the majority of things in your house made in China. Hey, man, I might get in trouble saying that. Hope they don't edit me on YouTube. But anyway, seriously, when you get to your house, look at this stuff in your house and see where it comes from, okay? It's a wake-up call. All right, but here's the point. I used to watch the Nationals. And they would come with the bicycles, and everything they did was on those bicycles. So I watched Papa-san, we used to call him Papa-san, an elderly gentleman, riding on a bike, and he's got a ton of stuff on the back of that bike, trying to maneuver. So he goes around this curve, and all of a sudden, he tumbles over, the bike tumbles over, because the burden was not, or the bicycle was not equipped to carry the burden, didn't fit. Guess what Papa-san does? He takes all that lumber, puts it back on the bike, straps it down, goes to the next corner, and guess what happens? Tumbles over again. That's you. That's me. That's what we do. I got it. And next thing you know, we come crashing down. Jesus said, get rid of your bike. Come ride with me. I'll take you and your burden, and I'll set you free. Is that good news? That's the promise that he makes to you and I. But you got to answer the invitation. As I close, let me tell you what a lot of people do with invitation, especially when they flip it over and see who it's from. Y'all act like you don't do it. I'll get back to that later. When immediately, you need to put it on your calendar. Because if they felt that you were important enough to invite you then you ought to say, yes, I'm coming. Right, y'all got this? Let me tell you what happens if we didn't get invited and somebody else we knew got invited, and then they get to talking about, well, you know, I'm going to such as, you going to what? Who? Now you're feeling some kind of way that you've been left out and they ain't inviting me. Jesus includes everybody. Can I get a witness? You can't say, Lord, you didn't invite me. He said, I invited you. You took my invitation and tossed it over in the corner. Told me you're going to get back with me later. I invited you. You just didn't respond. How many times you go into church and God deals with you and you don't come to him? How many times are you going to sit in service and feel the Holy Spirit moving on your life and you just sit there? How many times when it tells you in the spirit, raise your hand or at least say amen, and you just sit there and ignore him? He's inviting you. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you that you need me and you might as well let me in. But I can tell you one thing. I tried to put him off. I tried to say, Lord, wait a while a little bit and wait on me until I get to a certain age. But you know what? It got good to me. The invitation started speaking to me. And the next thing I knew, I was at somebody's altar crying out, Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, come in my life. I'm so glad. I'm so glad, Reverend Friend, I answered the invitation. Well, I answered the call. I said, yes, Lord. I got one more thing, and I'm going to sit down. I'm running. Oh, y'all let me run over time. Why y'all do that? Not only is it an unmistakable promise, an ultimate position, and a unique provision, but it's unlimited power. Unlimited power. Every month, I got to pay AEP.
I feel you.
I believe they like me, but they don't love me. Dexter, if I don't get my payment in, they're going to send me one more warning. This is the last time we're going to send you this, and the next thing you know, I'm going to hit the light switch, and that light ain't coming on. But here is Jesus. Here is Jesus. I love preaching to y'all. Y'all, I love. Here is Jesus saying, I'm going to give you power. It's not a power that you got to fabricate on your own. He says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. If you walk with me, I'll give you the best walk that you ever had. I'll give you the greatest joy that you ever had in your life. You won't have to strain. You don't have to pull. You don't have to tug. You don't have to get out here and join the rat race of humanity trying to get ahead, spending money that you don't have, trying to impress people that you don't like. You don't have to do all those things. You don't have to work until you get sick and then try to pay everything you've earned just to get better. You don't have to go that way. Jesus has another way for you. He has another way for you and me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I said I wasn't going to say this because that was really then, but I got to talk about it. When I got saved, I literally felt that a burden had been rolled off of me. And Gary, I think I told you that I started running. I wasn't necessarily running to anything or running from anything. I was running because I was light. I was light. I didn't have the weight on me. I didn't have the burden on me. I didn't have to worry anymore. I didn't have to struggle anymore. I didn't have to try to be religious anymore. Say the right thing, do the right thing, act the right way. I didn't have to do that. I had something on the inside that was showing up on the outside, and it got all over me. I had God's peace. I had his shalom. I had his rest. And that spoke volumes to me. As I close and go to my seat, one of the deepest theological questions that I've ever been asked in this church was asked last week by Avrid, Amy's daughter. She came to me and Amy said, Avrid got a question she wants to ask. I said, okay, what's the question? I'm ready. I can deal with it. Greatest theological question I've ever been asked in my life was asked on that Sunday. And Mel, here was the question. Where is heaven? I said, what? You asked me for a verse. No. Where is heaven? And I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit, because I would not have been able to answer a question. I said, heaven is within you. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the kingdom of God comes into you. Jesus said it's not by the sign of saying, people saying, oh, here's the kingdom of God, or lo there. It's within you. And if the kingdom of heaven is not within you, you will never see the kingdom of heaven when you leave this world. It's got to be first in you. That's what Jesus is saying. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And then he says, I'll trade you. You'll ever swap things with somebody and say, hey, I'll give you this if you give me that. Jesus is saying, I'll take your mess. Yeah. I'll take your trouble. I'll take your heartache. I will take your pain and give you my yoke, because it's easy. You're struggling with what you got, but you ain't gonna struggle with what I got. My grandma said, it'll make you walk right. It'll make you talk right. It will put joy in your heart. At the close of this service on August the 27th, I want to ask you the question. Will you trade him? Everybody wants to trade up. Here's your opportunity. Trade up. I'll take your burden. And Jesus says, I'll give you my yoke. And you can go from there. Is that all right? Is that all right? Man, that's all right. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your love and grace. I could have gone on and on and on and on talking about your love and your power. But I'm so glad that all of the burdens are lifted at a place called Calvary. There might be people dealing with issues today, trying to walk through problems. Would you be with them? And would you take their burdens? That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. When your burden seems more than you can bear, when your heart is breaking beneath the load of care, just remember that you're not alone. I know he's watching, oh, from his throne, and he cares. Oh, I know. Oh, yes, he cares. And he cares. Oh, my friend, when you're being abused, yes, he cares. Oh, even when your best friend turned away from you. Here's the part I like. There is no problem too great or small, I know he listens, and oh, he'll hear them all. Yes, he cares. Oh, oh, I know. Oh, yes, Jesus cares. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. I want to get the invitation back, so all stand. The invitation. Those of you that are online that have joined us today, want to give you the invitation. Come to Jesus. And I know you've heard that statement many, many times, but he wants to take your burden and he wants to trade and give you his rest. Write to us online, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be able to help you. We'll be able to share with you the love of Christ. If there's anyone in here, maybe you're saying today, I want to make the Lord the ruler of my life. Maybe you've got a burden, you want to take it to the Lord and leave it there. The altar's open. Jesus will hear you. With everyone today. Y'all feel lighter? Feel like your burden been lifted? Lay it down. You can't handle it. Lay it down. Give the Lord your life and let him lead you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Going to get ready for our offering. Ask the officers to come if they would.